Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
Yeah, I think we've shown improvement. We had a good week of practice last week, okay? I think that there were instances where I thought we had some nice, efficient runs. I thought there were instances where we were able to get the ball out. And then, you know, the thing that we still have to do is clean up, you know, the operation in terms of pre-snap penalties, turnovers, stuff like that. So we're on a crusade to do that. That's the most important thing, you know, and eliminating that type of football and allowing us to move forward. Still too many get back on track situations.
Crusades take a long time, and I already don't like it for like this guy for that. Crusades are not something that can be accomplished within the course of a Monday through Friday situation.
Yeah.
A crusade can sometimes take generations, B. Scott.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be damned if I'm going to put Houston sports fans through a damn generation.
Hey, look,
the fact of the matter is,
we ain't got that much time.
No.
Right? You're north of 40 now. I'm approaching it.
Bro, what are you doing?
I'm just saying. Do we have generations? Yeah.
Damn,
do we have generations left?
No.
We do not. I mean, look, I'm right there behind you, Bajani. We're in the same situation here. Look, we only got but so much time. It can't be no Odyssey. It can't be no... crusade. It's got to happen now, buddy.
Oh my God.
What are we doing, bro?
The Crusades. I studied the Crusades in like theology when I was a freshman and sophomore at Catholic school. I don't need to go through that again. No. It took forever. It was a lot of violence, a lot of heads rolled, which brings me to my main point.
They could use some more violence.
Well, violence, yeah, definitely. And heads rolling. I don't know. We'll see. I think week four, in a couple of days, B. Scott, that could determine a lot. In all seriousness, this is in what I think was coming in the most pivotal, important, highly anticipated season in Texans franchise history. This is a week four in all of that. It's a microcosm because this very well could determine where you go as an organization. From whatever happens at the close of business on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
We know four teams out of 165 since 1990 that have started 0-3 have gone on to make the playoffs. Only six have done it since 1979. Only one since the year 2000. That was the same organization, the Houston Texans. One other team, though. One team since 2000 has gone 0-3. And within those first three games has allowed 20 points or less and has gone on to do nothing. Not go to the playoffs. Not win the AFC, whatever, NFC, whatever. And whoever that one team was that has started so poorly and given up so few points, it doesn't matter who it was. It wasn't the Texans. They weren't from 2018. The Texans literally have to become the first team in the last at least 25 years to right the ship, to get back to just being in the conversation of where it's supposed to just start in the playoffs.
So I feel like the thing that we miss whenever we do these historical context conversations, sometimes the thing that's really easy to overlook is the why of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? Think about it. Why a team is 0-3. Remember earlier I was talking about how it's not just that they're 0-3, but it's what it looks like.
Right.
I can guarantee you that most of the time when you look around and a team is 0-3, they've earned it. Like, very, very rarely is a team that bad and it's like, oh, well, if it had just been a thing or here or there. No, there are systemic or very specific issues that you can point to almost all of these teams, because that's the commonality, right? It's not just that this many teams hasn't done it with this record over this amount of time. It's that a 0-3 team, they only play 17 games, right? Used to play 16, played less than that way back in the day. But a 0-3 team, when it come down to it, is probably not a good team. Not a good team.
Not so, yet.
At least not yet. Or there's enough there are enough warts or enough holes in the team to point to explain why they are 0-3.
Yeah.
And even if they improve, even if they go on some kind of hot streak of some sort, or if the schedule gets a little bit more favorable to them, which I think is the case for the Texans this weekend, I don't feel confident about them winning anything about to do with the Texans. It's just the fact that they're playing the Titans this weekend, and that's one of the few teams in the league that I can objectively say is worse than our own. But, like, normally when a team is in this situation, they have earned it. It is with good reason, and that is the part that is, I feel like, most discouraging or hardest to escape with all of this. It's like, yeah, I'm thinking about the historical context, but I'm also thinking about them, like, being a lot like the 0-3 teams in the terms of being bad, right? Like, not just, hey, they're some sort of outlier. Hey, they're actually a good team that's 0-3. No, they are a lot like the teams that are 0-3 that we speak of that don't do this thing that we want the Texans to do.
What does the defensive side of the football look like, though, on those other teams? You know,
well, I mean, what does the defensive side of the football look like now? Like, yeah, they've held teams to 20 points or less. Fine. Yeah, so the scoring defense is good. They got playmakers. Well, but total defense, man, they still rank right around in the middle of the pack of the league. Like, overall, it's still kind of just – a middling average defense with some playmakers that we really like, some edge rushers that we really like, an all-pro corner who's been injured, who's injured in the last game and is probably injured in this game. But, like, they overall, I did this with the offense. Other than just naming the names, giving me the names of the guys on respective side of the ball, overall, it just has not been good enough. They are not good enough. It's not like we're talking about the 2000s Ravens defense or the 02 Bucks. Or like some like historic defense. We're talking about a pretty good to decent defense that's being put in a bad spot all the time, time and time again, by an inept offense. Like when Derek Stingley goes out last game, I had the realization of, oh, damn, they've done this before where they've had an all-pro, like super-duper defensive difference maker, whether it's Derek Stingley or in the past, in the case of J.J. Watt, where it's like, damn, you might have a generational talent on defense, but it doesn't matter. Because you don't score points. Because you don't get in the red zone.
Guess
and when
what?
You do get in the red zone, you still don't score points.
You know this. What generational talent on defense did the Texans squander the career of, at least while he's a Houston Texan? That's J.J. Watt.
Yeah, right.
You've been there, done that before.
Exactly.
Right? But – and that is – that. It sounds like the sky's falling, but I don't know, man. It kind of is. Like, it could. It could because we have a larger conversation that very well could be – had and with much more relevance over the course of just the next couple of weeks if the Texans even win this game, B. Scott, because they're very realistically staring 1-4 and you could see 1-5, maybe 1-6 in the face over the course of the next few weeks. Context is important. But you asked a question earlier that I kind of want to get back to, in that you asked something to the effect like, hey, what have the Texans actually really done well that you can kind of hang your hat on?
What's the redeeming quality of their offense?
Redeeming quality. Okay, I don't know. And I don't want to go so far to like just name individuals and things that they've done. What Nico Collins. That's kind of it. Will Anderson. And Danielle Hunter, Derek Barnett. There are a lot of things. No, here's what I want to talk about. And I might be crazy for thinking this, but in the moment – the final drive against the Jags, the last minute 48, and not even just that, it was their drive before that where they were moving the ball.
Yeah, like, they were.
It was hitting some dudes. It was finding Dalton Schultz, finding Christian Kirk on a 4th-and-3 nonetheless, especially on that final drive. It was C.J. Stroud recognizing, boom, play rate breaks down. I got to get upfield, get some yards, scramble, whatever. And that's what he's shown a larger propensity to be able to do. And D'Amico Ryans on Texans All Access during their coaches show said it, I think, on Monday. And I think it's huge because there's a lot of lip service, a lot of BS in those shows and those appearances. Nothing could have been further from the truth, though, in what he'd said on Monday, is that doing something that he likes the two-minute drill, he likes being thrown into the fire, having to make quick decisions and go boom, 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 boom. Well, what if Nick Caley could pull his head out of his collective you-know-what and recognize, hey, here are some things that we did really well. Here's actually some things CJ likes. We don't have to wait until there's literally 2 minutes or less to do these things. What if we put the opposition's defense on its heels? What if we applied the pressure when it's a 0-0 football game? What if we applied the pressure, you know, at various points throughout to make things uncomfortable and very comfortable for us?
Yeah, I love it. Now, the damned if you do, damned if you don't element to that was, hey, even when you were moving the ball, even when it seemed like you had some moments in that last game, you get the turnovers, right, from your best players. C.J. Stroud throws an interception. Nico Collins obviously fumbles the football. C.J. Stroud throws another interception late in the game. So, like, those are things that you absolutely just cannot have.
Yeah.
But it's the damned if you do, damned if you don't element to it. But here's the issue that I have with what
two of those things were anomalous, though.
No, I get it. They were anomalous. But here's the issue that I have specifically with the 2 minute drill part. Like, okay, there's something that they can hang their hat on. But there are also just other elements of the game that you have to be good at. Like, you can't just be like, hey, we're going to be a 2 minute drill offense. Like, it's not, you're not Chip Kelly at Oregon. You're not some spread offense in the Big 12. At some point, and you know this, Sean, I don't have to tell you this, but just for the audience and just to think about this, at some point in the game, at various points in the game, you are going to need at the very least to be able to max protect against a four-man rush.
Mm-hmm.
They can't max protect against a four-man rush,
yeah.
Which I don't know if y'all understand mathematically. That's not good. That means that you have more guys in protection than they are bringing pressure, and you can't block it.
You're so losing the 5-on-4.
That's what I'm saying. And sometimes it's 6-on-4.
Sometimes it's 6-on-4.
In some cases. And so it's like, okay, these are the so those are simple things that you can point to and say, hey, look, maybe you're not as talented as we thought, but you can be better than that. Damn it, you can max protect against a four-man front. Or how about let's not false start? Let's not have all of these pre-snap issues that Nick Haley's talking about.
Sure.
Those are things that you can point to tangibly and say, at the very least, let's not do that anymore.
But you know what? He's right on those. He's absolutely right on those.